Ken, I want to take advantage of the fact that you're in southern France and talk about the French elections upcoming on Sunday, but you can't mention those elections without talking about the terrorist attack that took place there in Paris as well.
Well, what was ironic about that, Jimmy, this ISIS-affiliated terrorist who gunned down a policeman on the Champs-Élysées right in the center of Paris did so just as the French presidential candidates were on a live TV show being interviewed. Each one got 15 minutes, so it went, 15 minutes by 15 minutes. By the time I think the fourth one came on, news came across the wires that this terrorist attack had happened in the center of Paris. So it seemed to be very clearly a kind of thumbs down to the French and to their democracy by a terrorist who was born on French soil and had been involved in jihadi networks, who was known to the police and had a long, long arrest record.
Ken, we're going to talk with some of our other broadcast partners about some of the things that you and I are discussing as well. Just briefly, talk to me about the uncertainty, a result of the Turkish referendum. It seems like it gave absolute power to Tayyip Erdogan there as now ultimately to become the sultan or the king and maybe set up an Islamic republic.
Well, it did give him absolute power. He now has total control of the judiciary, of the education system, of the police, of all the intelligence services. He has already jailed many of the members of parliament who are part of the opposition. He's arrested over 120,000 people since the coup in July of last year. And this was a very narrow victory, a 51%, 51.4% or so. Those are the figures that the Turkish government is putting out. But, Jimmy, remember, Erdogan had a total monopoly on television and radio leading up to this referendum. He did not allow his opponents any airtime. So if you were sitting in Turkey wondering how to vote and you turn on your TV or your radio, you would have heard pro-referendum, in other words, pro-Erdogan propaganda from morning to night. He did not give the opposition any opportunity, really, to express themselves or to express their opposition to these absolute powers that Erdogan has now assumed.
Another evidence there's no such real thing as a democracy in the Middle East, with the exception of the state of Israel. Well, let's go Middle East. Talk to me about Syria. They've moved all of their jet fighters into Russian bases. I guess they're trying to protect them from the United States or whoever.
Well, they are trying to protect them from the United States. This is after the U.S. destroyed about one-fifth of the Syrian Air Force in those cruise missile strikes after the alleged Syrian government chemical weapons attack. I say alleged because, the evidence is really still contradictory about this sarin gas attack, and it may have been an accidental release of sarin from an opposition depot that the Syrians hit, but nevertheless, the Syrians now are sheltering their air force from the United States should there be future U.S. airstrikes or cruise missile attacks, and they put them on a Russian air base in Latakia on the coast, where they have a total coverage from very advanced Russian S-300 and S-400 surface-to-air missiles. They have also the advantage of the Russian intelligence services, the military intelligence, the GRU, that's stationed at that same base, and so they're able to get a total visibility over the airspace over northern Syria, something that they haven't had in the past. This is not very good for the United States and our allies. It means that they're going to be able to see us coming should we be launching airstrikes that they don't agree with.
Now we switch venues, go out to the Far East, North Korea, threatening to reduce the United States to ashes. And boy, a lot of bravado there.
North Korea is increasingly becoming a huge problem. The United States has sort of given them a pass for the past 25 years as they've been developing a nuclear weapons arsenal, not just a bomb capability, but an arsenal of weapons. So when you have this tin hat, overweight boy dictator threatening to use his toy missiles, it's something that certainly Donald Trump is taking seriously and the Chinese president has taken seriously. We know from Mr. Trump's statements over the past week or so that he discussed North Korea extensively with the Chinese president when he was visiting the United States, and Trump believes that he's gotten concessions and cooperation from the Chinese on North Korea. We'll see how that works out. but that's certainly what he wanted from the Chinese president. He wanted the Chinese, who are right next door to North Korea and who control the supply lines of vital materials and who purchase their coal, which is one of their only exports, he wants the Chinese to finally exercise some control over the North Korean nuclear weapons program. Whether they succeed in doing so, we'll see.
Yes, only time will tell. I sent you an article that I wanted you to look at, Ken. It's entitled, What North Korea Should Teach the United States About Iran. If you got a chance to look at it, what are your thoughts?
Well, Alan Dershowitz, who is a liberal become in many ways conservative, a very pro-Israel liberal who has had a lot of problems with the Democrat Party because of their anti-Israel stance. Alan Dershowitz, a lawyer in New York, very well known, very famous, has been for many years concerned about Iran and their nuclear weapons program. And he says, look, we need to take a look at what's happening with North Korea for what it can teach us about Iran. We cannot allow Iran to get an arsenal of nuclear weapons the way that the North Koreans do. They will not exercise the same restraint. Get that. The same restraint that the North Koreans are doing. That makes it all the more urgent for not just the United States, but our partners around the world to ensure that the Iranian regime cannot advance its nuclear weapons program one iota from where they are now.
Great advice from Alan Dershowitz and his statement, we could learn something from North Korea. Hope world leaders are paying attention and, in fact, reading his opinion piece. Well, here's news. I don't think this is very good news. Islamic State and Al-Qaeda have renewed talks to join forces. Boy, that doesn't sound good.
Well, remember, both the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda emerged from the same crucible. They both were spawned by the Muslim Brotherhood in the beginning. This is the group that many in Congress want to label a terrorist group, which they should. The only difference between the Muslim Brotherhood, wherever it operates, either under the front of the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, in the United States, or Hamas, or Al-Qaeda, or the Islamic State, is the extent of violence that they use to accomplish their goals. It's timing and tactics. It's the only difference between the so-called moderate Islamists and the so-called radical jihadis. So to see the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda talking about a merger or talking about at least uniting forces against less Islamist groups or against the Western forces isn't surprising. It's something that I think has been in the cards for quite some time. It just means that it will be more clear who our enemies are to those who are not clear-sighted.
Ken, talking about jihadists over there in the Middle East and around that part of the world, what about the FBI investigating all 50 states' jihadists right here in America on a path to strike the United States?
Extraordinary statement from Homeland Security Secretary Kelly just the past couple of days, saying that the FBI has opened investigations in all 50 states of jihadist cells. This is something that the Obama administration tried to sweep under the rug. They tried to claim it wasn't happening. They tried to claim it was homegrown, isolated, self-radicalized jihadis. No, it's not. It's the Islamic State. They're in the United States, and they are everywhere trying to kill us.
Well, the former CIA director, James Woolsey, told us that indeed that's why these Islamists are here in America trying to take down the United States. That seems to be the case.
That's right. And General Kelly, the Homeland Security Secretary, said exactly that this past week in testimony to Congress. He says, we cannot underestimate the threat. They have one goal, and that is to destroy us.
Wow. We better pay attention to that for sure. Ken Timmerman, the man who's normally in Washington, D.C. on the catbird seat, he's in southern France. What a unique position and venue to be able to talk to us about current events happening around our world, political, geopolitical activities unfolding to set the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Ken, thank you so very much. Have a good time in southern France, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. God bless.